Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, June 17th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
ZANU-PF adds to its majority in parliament today as winners of the recent by-elections take their oath.
I feel absolutely ecstatic, absolutely excited about this because this is a development that officially enables me to work my absolute best to represent my constituency.
Zimbabwe Tourism Authority hopes for a successful 7th edition of Sanganai Travel Expo starting tomorrow.
This is our traditional annual showcase, which we hold every we call it Sanganai, as you know, marvelous.
Zimbabwean women living in Britain funds opposition candidates in Zimbabwe's elections, while others seek to form stronger bonds with those here in the U.S.
So I realize there are good community leaders on the ground who don't have the necessary resources or income to represent their communities in parliament. Uh-huh.
These are the stories and much, much more.
ZANU ZANU-PF members took their oath in parliament today following their victory in the June 10 by-election. Five more seats up for grabs from expelled ZANU-PF members are also likely to go to ZANU-PF. But as Studio 7's Blessing Zulu reports, opposition and independent candidates are crying foul over the conduct of the elections.
ZANU-PF took 210 parliamentary seats in the 2013 elections and has now gained 16 more. Among the 19 ZANU-PF legislators sworn in today was psychologist Mazivisa, who will represent Highfield West, an opposition stronghold.
I feel absolutely ecstatic, absolutely excited about this because this is a development that officially enables me to work my absolute best to represent my constituency.
All formations of the Movement for Democratic Change boycotted the elections, citing lack of adequate reforms. Mazivisa, however, dismissed the opposition boycott as a non-event and says he is now ready to work for his constituency.
It's an opportunity now, in my official capacity as Member of Parliament for Highfield West, to really bring about development in that constituency.
The Zimbabwe Electoral Support Network, or ZESIN, condemned the past by-elections as violent, especially in Hurungwe West. However, even as opposition, independent, and observer groups raise concern over the violence in the elections, five more by-elections are in the pipeline in constituencies once held by ZANU-PF members who have died or have been expelled due to their alignment with former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, who was accused of plotting to overthrow President Robert Mugabe. The alleged violence in Hurungwe West constituency has even forced expelled ZANU-PF MP for Mwenezi East, Kudakwashe Basikiti, to withdraw his bid to contest as an independent to try and reclaim his seat.
You see, I could have done that to prove a point, but there is no point looking at the way they have harassed the people in Hurungwe and persecuted them, some maimed and killed. It's not necessary that I can cause my people to be subjected to such humiliation. Why? Over a mandate which they had given me, I will not do that.
The ZANU-PF victories in the recent by-elections have left a sour taste in the mouths of many of the legislators who once held those seats. Take the case of former MP for Dzivarasekwa, Solomon Madzore of the MDC renewal team, who lost his seat for switching from the MDC formation led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai. He says the ZANU-PF victory is a sad day for democracy. Madzore worries about the development projects he had lined up in the constituency.
You realize that we have gone backwards, 45, 52 years, as far as the democratization agenda of this country is concerned.
With the ZANU-PF sweeping up all available seats, many wonder if Mr. Tsvangirai and his group will forego their election boycott and participate in the next elections. Party spokesman Obed Gutu responds.
The position of the MDC is that we are not going to participate until the relevant reforms that we are calling for have been put in place.
Despite the odds of winning, National Constitutional Assembly leader Lovemore Maduku says his party will continue to participate.
Very, very much so. Why should we not participate in future elections? We have said very clearly that the purpose of our participation for now up to 2018 is to introduce the NCA as a political party to the electorate. It is not about winning these elections. It's about introducing ourselves, learning lessons, using the elections to mobilize our supporters to come and join our party. We are here, we don't have members. So if we get 7 votes in an area, that those 7 will look for them and make them our nucleus.
But Maduku says reforms are still needed for credible elections. For years, a host of European countries have decried Zimbabwe's elections as violent, chaotic, and blatantly tilted in favor of President Robert Mugabe. But many African leaders have praised the elections. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Blessing Zulu in Washington.
The Zimbabwe Tourism Authority hosts its 7th Sanganai Travel Expo at the Harare Conference Center tomorrow with hopes of a stronger participation than previous years. Chief Executive Officer Kariko Gakaseke of the ZTA says preparations are at an advanced stage for the 3-day expo running under the theme Promoting Peace Through Tourism. Kaseke tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye the International Expo will also aim to attract local and domestic tourists to the country's premier destinations.
This is our traditional annual showcase. We call it Sanganai, as you know, Marvelous. And in the previous years, we're having it in October. But after the buyers who came to us last year indicated that we are missing an opportunity by having it in October because buyers who come to Zimbabwe to buy the destination close their catalogue by end of July. So we decided to have it in June so that Zimbabwe is in next year's catalogues when buyers put up their catalogues.
So how many international buyers would you say you have attracted this year?
Hosted buyers, they are plus or minus 110. The buyers that we are hosting, hosted media is plus or minus 38. But there are some other buyers which we are not hosting who came on their own. So in total, it could be in excess of 200 in terms of buyers and media altogether.
And also, you normally have an exhibition that runs alongside this event. Do you have one this year?
Yes, of course. Buyers come to talk to sellers, and sellers have to exhibit their products. And the exhibition is actually going on from tomorrow up to Saturday. The buyers will be talking to exhibitors on the exhibition stands.
Have you been able to attract local tourists?
Yes, that is what we're doing this year. Thursdays and Fridays are business-to-business exchanges, and Saturday is a domestic tourism expo where we are concentrating on the locals and offering them the domestic tourism products.
And that was the chief executive of the Zimbabwe Tourism Authority, Kariko Gakaseke, speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
A transport and infrastructural development minister, Obert Mpofu, says he met with the Development Bank of Southern Africa in Harare today to finalize plans to resuscitate the National Railways of Zimbabwe, NRZ, which is battling to boost its production and pay 11 months of outstanding salaries to its workers. Mpofu tells reporter Standigile Mhlanga the overall aim is to boost NRZ production and employ more workers.
We are actually looking at a situation of restoring the original National Railways of Zimbabwe, which employed in about 20,000 people and carrying over the similar number of 20 million tons of goods, which has now been reduced to almost less than 10 million, and thereby creating other problems to do with salaries, then with working capital, and many other challenges that the system is experiencing now. When I aim at something, I succeed, and I won't fail the people.
Which other parastatals are on the table now for revival?
All my parastatals have. Air Zimbabwe is flying even higher now, with albeit, of course, some challenges. challenges here and there, which is normal. We have Zanara, which is now a good example for the continent. As I said earlier on, people coming every week to come and learn or at least emulate what we are doing. We have the National Traffic Council, which is doing exceptionally well through awareness campaigns, and they've now come up with a new curriculum for driving schools through a new highway code. We have CAS, the Civil Aviation Authority, has been getting some awards recently where it's no impeccable safety record. We have the NHS National Handling Services. But, of course, we have to address the challenges. So we have almost 10 parasectors that are all functional. CMED servicing the entire government without any hiccups.
That was Transport and Infrastructural Development Minister Obet Mpofu on the line from Harare. Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Amalgamated Railway Workers Union, Kenneth Nemachena, says the government should settle the workers' outstanding salaries while implementing its developmental plans.
They haven't come forward even through the union how they are going to offset the payment of the 11-month salary, which I think the government must be trying to do to assist the NRZ management. I think that is the first protocol. If they do that, they will try to resuscitate the railway to go back to come back to normal. While they are doing their locomotive, they also try to take part of the money that is being owed.
The government is saying the best way to address the salary problem is to boost production, and there are efforts to do this. Is this enough?
If the minister is only saying they want to put money for the resuscitation or for the infrastructure, when the employer owes 11-month salary to the employees, I think that would be very, very unfair. What I would think the minister is supposed to do to balance the equation, it is for the minister maybe to pay the employees maybe 5 months salary, and then they also do bring in their money for infrastructure. I think employees, they can change.
That was Kenneth Nemachena, Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Amalgamated Railway Workers Union, on the line from Lawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930-5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a Zimbabwean woman delves into the much-avoided political arena by sponsoring opposition candidates.
Also, a Zimbabwean group sets out to connect all the Zimbabweans in the Washington area.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Swiss prosecutors are investigating 53 possible money laundering incidents involving the bidding process for the 2018 and 2022 FIFA World Cup tournament.
The U.S. defense chief is calling for Iraq to make a greater commitment to fight Islamic State militants that have seized the large swaths of the country, saying Baghdad has failed to produce enough ground troops.
The Golden State Warriors defeated the host Cleveland Cavaliers 105-97 Tuesday to win the 2014-15 National Basketball Association Championship Series. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Many Zimbabweans living in the diaspora try to avoid politics as much as possible, opting instead for less controversial projects like supplying books to schools or constructing churches. But not Barbara Nyagomo, a Zimbabwean health and social worker living in Britain, who sponsored opposition candidates for the recent parliamentary by-elections under the Progressive Democrats of Zimbabwe. ZANU-PF won all the seats. Nyagomo tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube this is how she is playing a part in Zimbabwe's democratization.
Realize there are good community leaders on the ground who don't have the necessary resources or income to represent their communities in the in parliament. Mm-hmm. What we have been having is we have big business people who come from other parts of the country, don't even know the specific community needs who are actually in parliament. Mm-hmm. So I decided to mentor, support, and train people. Then we've got four candidates. Mm-hmm. They needed $50 each to register through the nomination codes, posters, flyers, the whole campaign material of which I've sponsored them.
How much money did you pour in there?
Cash-wise, I've got four candidates, so about $3,000 each, which is a total of $12,000. So a lot of money, I would say, each constituency election time, you need at least $10,000.
Hmm. So with this kind of move that you have taken, and we're told, actually, that you want to be the president of Zimbabwe, tell us a bit about this.
I actually took this step because I myself come from a very humble beginning. And it helps me to see, you know, ordinary people who do extraordinary things. They fail to represent people in parliament, in communities, just because they don't have money. So for me, this is like still humanitarian work, but at a political level, to enable people who wouldn't necessarily have money to go into parliament, work passionately with people and, you know, represent the true picture of meaning of politics, that is to serve people, a vocation which we have lost in Zimbabwe currently.
Okay, so do you think that you are going to make it in 2018 with your candidates and you as the candidate for the presidential election?
I think we're going to do very well if we strategically move, because we are at a point where people need new ideas, new politics, young people, youth and women to participate. So I am hoping it will be all right. So far, so good.
Yes, so I think you're going to be the first female president, woman candidate, something like that in Zimbabwe?
I'm praying for that.
Mm. And what kind of different thing do you hope to achieve, you know, from what the president, that is President Robert Mugabe, is doing right now? Anything different?
Yes, the political values and ideologies that I developed actually here in my house, it's almost influenced by, you know, the work I've done all this year as a nurse and as a social work. So it's all person-centered, people-centered, that you look at the person first, how these policies are going to impact on people politically, socially, economically. The problem we have had since 1980 is, you know, ZANU-PF have got good, sound policies, but they are never implemented. There's no monitoring evaluation to see how these policies affect people at the point of impact. And it always enriched the 1% elite of the population. So for me, I advocate for collective leadership, inclusiveness, and equal opportunities so that, you know, people are part of the decision-making processes. And the government is separated from politics, from the parliament, from judiciary. So that's what we are advocating for.
So now, is there any chance that we can have some kind of coalition? Many critics are saying the opposition is very fractured, you know. So at the end of the day, going it alone, that's dangerous, right?
I don't necessarily think that. The problem we have with political parties, we have been in the GNU at the moment, is people are so tainted. Their ideas, political ideas, and the new ideas which are being developed now, like by us, the Progressive Democrat of Zimbabwe, are completely parallel. So we have to look at, okay, are you just going to work with, MDCT, with a leader who has been there 15 years? They don't want to step aside. They are not practical. They are not walking the talk. They get funding and everything, and what do they do for the people? So we are happy to work with anyone who shares the same values with us, being progressive, people-centered, collective leadership, democratic, and including all Zimbabweans, regardless of their color, creed, or race.
That was Barbara Nyagomo, a sponsor of the Progressive Democrats of Zimbabwe, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from London. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., a group called the Zimbabwe Diaspora Network of North America, or ZIDNA, will launch its Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and West Virginia chapter this Saturday in Silver Spring, Maryland. ZIDNA Regional Coordinator and Board Member Isaac Mwase says the launch will lead to greater networking among Zimbabweans to share ideas. Mwase says to join, members need only pay $100 per year.
We've come to believe strongly that a well-organized diaspora community has tremendous power to transform life for itself here and also for their families back in Zimbabwe. We are already exercising a lot of power on the economy back home through our remittances. Now we are seeking to get ourselves organized so that as we provide the platform where people can think together, come up with practical, sensible solutions, we can transform our lives and improve our lives and the lives of our families and in turn the life of our country.
Who will benefit from this organization?
The immediate benefits are there, building on the benefits that the community has been experiencing as we come together during times of bereavement and also during happy moments at graduations and anniversaries and other happy occasions. Now we are going to be providing a platform where people can systematically think about those things that are affecting all of us. But we'll be doing this on a non-partisan basis, making it clear that people do not have to worry about their politics. We are going to be political without being partisan because we know that leaders need to hear our voices as those who have strong ties with the countries, with the country of our birth and upbringing, as Zimbabweans.
Besides this DMV area, where in other states are you also operating from?
Eventually, we see chapters emerging in those areas where there are high concentrations of Zimbabweans.
That was ZIDNA Regional Coordinator and Board Member Isaac Mwase in Baltimore, Maryland.
Opposition MDCT is reportedly considering compelling members to sign contracts banning them from using the party name in the event that they form their own. Currently, there are several MDC splinter parties with the name MDC, MDC Ncube, MDC Mutambara, MDC Renewal, and some now defunct like MDC 99. Party Organizing Secretary Abednego Bebe is quoted by the Southern Eye website at Silobela at the weekend as having told a rally that the move would go into effect next month. However, party deputy spokesperson Tabita Kumalo told Studio 7 the issue has not yet been tabled for discussion.
That issue has not yet reached our office as the information department, and I sincerely believe that Honorable Bebe, who is the organizer of our party, has got a better picture than we have. Because as of now, as I speak, we are not aware of it. But I'm sure he has a better answer than I would have in terms of that policy direction that is tabled in the newspapers.
But is there any concern of members who, when they leave the party, go ahead and use the emblem and name of the party?
That concern has not yet been raised within the committees who are the decision-making bodies within our party. And if at all it so does, those policy issues must go through the normal channels of our committees within the party so that a decision is made by our supreme decision-making board, which is the National Council. So that's why I'm saying maybe he has spoken to them or he has done something pertaining to that awareness.
And that was MDC Deputy Spokesperson Tabita Kumalo. She spoke on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
The most important document in British history celebrates its 800th birthday this month, one being marked in our nation too for providing a foundation for our government and liberties. In a meadow by the Thames River near London on June 15th, in the year 1215, the English King John sued for peace with a group of rebellious nobles by attaching his royal seal to a Great Charter of Liberties, better known by its title in Latin, the Magna Carta. By most accounts, John was a horrible monarch. He imposed heavy taxes, far higher than those of kings before him. When someone couldn't pay, he took their sons hostage. Those suspected of disloyalty were executed without trial. For interfering with affairs of the church, he was excommunicated. Powerless in the face of open rebellion, and anxious to save his throne, John conceded to a list of 63 grievances, and promised from then on to obey the law of the land. Future kings would be bound by the charter as well, he pledged. Many of its provisions are irrelevant today, dealing as they do with such things as feudal laws regarding rents and inheritance. But with its implication that the head of state is subject to the rule of law, and the declaration that all people have a right to a fair trial if accused of a crime, the Magna Carta has become a symbol of liberty, individual freedoms, and the rule of law around the world. Some four centuries later, when English colonists left for the New World, they brought royal charters that established their colonies, each couched with the guarantees of rights and liberties implied by the Magna Carta. And later, when the colonists fought for independence from Britain, they were fighting not so much for rights unknown, but to preserve those rights and liberties now laid out in our Constitution.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Please stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will talk with experts about the critical food shortage in the country. Government says more than half the population needs food aid, and they have appealed for help from the United Nations. What is the situation in your area?
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. The music of Sam Fellow going out to you from Studio 7 here at the Voice of America.
Now to recap today's top stories.
ZANU-PF aides tweets majority in parliament today as winners of the recent by-elections take their oath.
Zimbabwe Tourism Authority hopes for a successful 7th edition of Sanganai Travel Expo starting tomorrow.
And a Zimbabwean woman living in Britain funds opposition candidates in Zimbabwe's by-elections, while others seek to form stronger bonds with those here in the U.S.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Thank you for joining us. Now please stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Standekile Mthanga and Tungamili Nkomo. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.